real talent's expensive. So I just went to another country and I just got great talent there at their prices, right? So she's an executive there. And it turns out, no surprise, all the best talent isn't in the UK and the US. It's all over the world. And it sounds so obvious. So this is why I started the company. I had all this free time. My friends were shocked that I was able to do this. And I said to them, hey, can I just find you someone like this?
Welcome to the Business Mastermind Podcast with business strategist, speaker, and author, Gavin Preston. Tap into this meeting of minds between everyday business people on their journey to master business growth. Join them as they share strategies, insights, and shortcuts to help you survive and thrive in business and life as you scale your business and achieve a bigger impact.
Hey, Gavin here. You love the audio format because you listen to podcasts. I'm a massive fan of learning through audio courses and books. What I particularly like about Knowable is that courses are short form, like a podcast, and expert-led, like an audiobook, with courses on leadership from the commander of the International Space Station and on startups from the co-founder of Reddit. Grab yourself 20% off with coupon code GAVIN in capital letters, G-A-V-I-N, which brings the price down to just over $3 a month. It's a no-brainer. Download the Knowable app or visit knowable.fyi. Use code GAVIN to get 20% off. Hi, Gavin here. Welcome back to the Business Mastermind Podcast. I hope this week is treating you well. Today, we're talking to Matthew Yeas. Matthew is the CEO of an e-commerce company in the weddings and gift space, and you can guess what a challenging environment that's been in the last 12 months. And so he actually set up a brand new business called Extend Your Team. He's the CEO and founder of Extend Your Team, and that brings C-suite level capability, senior exec level capability at $18 to $20 an hour by tapping into the real talent in the Philippines. And they have an interesting model that they extend your team, hire the teams out of high-level senior execs out of the Philippines, and provide them as a service, a full-time service dedicated to your business. It's a really interesting model, and it's enabled many businesses to get hold of really highly capable people that are hired over and above the skill that you may necessarily need, but for the fraction of the price that you would expect to pay for that level of resource if you were hiring locally in the UK, the US, or Canada, or wherever. So straight into my interview with Matthew Yeas, CEO and founder of Extend Your Team. Hey, Gavin here. Welcome back to the Business Mastermind Podcast. Today, I'm speaking to Matthew Yeas. Now, Matthew is a serial entrepreneur. He's the CEO and founder of Extend Your Team. He's also the CEO of an e-commerce business in wedding and gifts, and we'll find out more about that as we talk. Today, we're going to be talking about Matthew's entrepreneurial journey, the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs of that, but also about how he's helping entrepreneurs like you and I get access to talent, real highly capable sort of talent from larger corporates through his new startup, which he's growing rapidly through the last 12 months called Extend Your Team. So Matthew, welcome to the Business Mastermind Podcast.
Thanks, Gavin. Great to be here.
A real privilege to have you here. So let's just jump back in time to your earlier sort of business experiences. You know, I speak to you now, you're in Lake Tahoe, but actually spent a lot of your earlier time living out of San Francisco. So you kind of had tech in your life for a long time. Then you moved into the kind of digital nomad space and created a life where you could travel and run your business from your laptop, which is the achievement of a few, but the goal, I'm sure, of many more. So yeah, share some of your background, what, you know, where you come from and what you've done to date in business. And then we'll jump into hearing more about, you know, how you took the created opportunity out of chaos with your new business, Extend Your Team.
Yeah, so I think my entrepreneurial journey started like so many other people. For me, it was 2008 in the downturn, the global economy, when it crashed. I was part of a layoff. And, right. You know, it really was the first time I had gotten laid off. And, you know, I was obviously very upset. And it just had never happened to me. I'd always survived. And I actually got laid off, not for any other reason than someone didn't like me. It was a very senior person. He just didn't think I fit in for whatever reason to the company. But what that really taught me, and this was a piece of advice, is that you can love a piece of advice I got, You can love a company, but it can't love you back.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not yours, it's not yours. A company's going to do what it's going to do. Mm-hmm. And from there, I started a career of contracting where I contracted, which then led me to.
And what was your skill set? What was your background?
I was in a technology and management consultant.
Yeah.
And so I went from, I literally went from my company to working for my client directly.
Yep.
And this was really important because the guy I was working for at my client was a very, very like top three executive in the restaurant business. And my client at the time was the Chicago 2016 Olympic bid.
Right.
And so we were going for the Olympics. He said, come work for me. You know, we lost the Olympic bid. Ironically, I went back to my company that laid me off at three times the rate because I was a contractor now. Yay for me. Yeah. And, it's great. But then, at some point the guy gives me a call, my former boss, and he says, hey, I'm going to start a restaurant business. Why don't you start it with me? And I need someone to get stuff done. And I was 34 at the time, guy who's senior in an industry says, hey, start a business with me. Even if you don't know the industry, I'm like, what do I know? He said, you'll figure it out. Okay. So I started a restaurant company, and that's actually what brought me to San Francisco, not technology.
Restaurants, so right.
Through that, I ended up, I spent 4 years. We grew it to, I think it was 14 locations in six states before I left.
Wow.
Before we took in some money, other people took over.
Yeah.
And then I spent some time just saying, what the heck do I want to do with my life? Right. Yeah. I just spent 4 years in the restaurant business, never wanted to be in the restaurant business. If you're a restaurant entrepreneur, you're crazy. I don't know how you guys do it. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And then at some point I decided, my wife said to me that I was unemployable by anybody. my now wife. And she's like, why don't you go do something on the internet? You like selling, I was selling some stuff on eBay, importing from China. And that was really the beginning of my digital entrepreneur journey. And through this, I acquired a three-site e-commerce portfolio, fully remote. So this is 2016. Everything was remote. The team at the time was onshore. And I started to learn what the internet was. And I thought I understood the internet. And look, Gavin, you use Google, right?
Yep.
You have any idea how it really works as a business?
No, just like I can flick a light switch, but I don't really know how electricity works.
Right. But I thought I knew how the lighting company worked. I spent a whole bunch of money, took out some loans. And what I realized is I thought I was smarter than I really was. And I spent the past couple of years, I would say paying tuition about here's how the internet works. Here's how business works. And, it's your own dime now. So it's just a very different situation.
Sure.
No venture capital money.
Yep. So what were your biggest lessons on that journey then? So you bought these, this a portfolio of three e-commerce businesses. Is this still in the wedding and the wedding gift space?
Yep.
Business you still have now. Yeah.
Yeah. So my learnings were one, as I said, I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. I jumped into the deep end of the pool. Mm-hmm. And how to swim.
Right? Yeah.
So I didn't know nearly as much as I thought about business and the internet.
Yeah.
And that was a little eye-opening because I went to graduate school. I got my MBA. I'd started a company. We had taken a bunch of cash, but I didn't realize what I didn't know about business.
Yeah, yeah.
Things are very different, in my opinion, when you're spending your own capital.
Yeah, right? For sure.
You do a marketing program, you blow 20 grand on it, it doesn't work. That's 20,000 less in your bank account.
Yeah.
Right? Different feeling. The other thing that I learned is I love operations. I love tinkering. I just love that stuff. But that's not what creates value in a business. And that was a very hard lesson for me to learn.
Yeah.
Right. I was, working 14-hour days. This is going to make a difference. And, my tinkering and my optimizing, that's what's going to cause a business to grow. The answer is no. At least in my experience. And that was a very hard lesson to learn as well.
So what did you find that does create value in the business?
I mean, marketing, positioning, unique selling propositions.
Yeah.
Right. All the stuff that I was not focused on.
Yeah.
Right. I was fortunate in that, you know, I had a team member who was helping me with this stuff, but the truth is we both should have been focused on it. Someone else should have been running operations. And while I grew the business over 4 years, you know, 30% from, I think it was like 3.2 to five or something, maybe 40%, right? Something like that. While I grew the business that much, it probably would have tripled had we both been rowing in the same direction on marketing and growth and strategy. And, you know, someone else was running the day to day.
Yeah.
And it was a critical learning for me that I think it held me back. I mean, I definitely don't think I would have been much more successful.
So
your co-producer.
Yeah, my co-producer just walked into the room. Yeah, sorry about that.
This is working from home, Gavin.
This is the reality of working from home. Anybody listening, my little three-year-old just walked into the room and he handed me a lolly. I don't know what you guys call it, you know, a candy stick or whatever you guys call it. He said, a lollipop. He says, I dropped it and it's dirty. So he's just brought that to me right in the middle of a recording. God love him.
Dad, Gavin, that's important to know.
Absolutely. So you'd have grown it more if you'd been both focused at on the marketing, the USP, basically driving market positioning, but driving sales.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, look, when you're making, so I think the fallacy that I had, and this is just, I had to learn my lesson, is that I was like, oh, it's making millions of dollars a year. You know, there is someone who's, you know, more oriented towards that. I can do what I like, right? Yep. And sure, that's okay. But the truth is, yes, I could squeeze more money out of the business, make it more efficient, but that's not the goal. And yes, it'll increase the bottom line. Cause right, it's not just about growth, it's about profit growth. But at the end of the day, what create, you know, you also need to really focus on the marketing to grow the top line. And then ideally, if you're doing it right, the bottom line will follow. And I just didn't appreciate that as much as I do now, where now for my next business, I still have the e-commerce business, but for my outsourcing business, I'm solely focused on marketing. I've delegated operations to operators. And, you know, I say, here's what I want done. Go do it. Here's your timeline. Go execute. And I sit and have conversations like this. I do sales calls right now for the time being. I talk to people about marketing initiatives. I just have me time for reading so I can think about strategy. Heck, I go snowboarding. Like this afternoon, I'm going to go snowboarding. Right.
Phenomenal. Love it.
Right. Clear my head. And those activities are what, and it's my belief, of course, you have to have basic operations. I mean, that's not what I'm saying, but those activities, it's in my belief, are going to make me more successful and make me have a bigger business with more ease than if I'm sitting here grinding it out. Because by nature, I ground it out my whole life. I'm a grinder. I mean, I know myself.
Hey, Gavin here. You love the audio format because you listen to podcasts. I'm a massive fan of learning through audio courses and books. What I particularly like about Knowable is that courses are short form, like a podcast, and expert-led, like an audiobook, with courses on leadership from the commander of the International Space Station and on startups from the co-founder of Reddit. Grab yourself 20% off with coupon code GAVIN in capital letters, G-A-V-I-N, which brings the price down to just over $3 a month. It's a no-brainer. Download the Knowable app or visit knowable.fyi. Use code GAVIN to get 20% off. So your e-commerce business is in the wedding industry. So that's taken a hit over the last 12 months. There's not a lot of people being put in on weddings for obvious reasons.
Yeah. So yes, e-commerce is a great place to be, Gavin, except if you're in weddings. Because guess what's not? I mean, when I bought the business. So it's interesting. Like you talk about business learnings. So, you know, I bought the business, it was post-2008. I looked at the numbers in 2008. It did not go down whatsoever.
This is recession proof.
Recession proof, right? You know what it's not? Pandemic
proof. It's not pandemic proof. Everybody wants to get married until they're told they can't get married.
Well, until it's illegal.
Until it's legal, right? To get married, yeah. Until it's legal to have a gathering,
And like my business is in wedding favors. I have one of the larger sites on the internet for the United States. And imagine, you know, usually my I'm selling, you know, 175 units per person because they're per sale because they're giving it out to somebody, right? They have 100 guests. Well, if you do a Zoom wedding, there's zero, right? And so it was at the worst point. I'll never forget this. It was 95% down year over year. This was like late March, right? Wow. And there's nothing you can do, right? Because we didn't know what was going on. Besides like pulling my hair out, which I don't have, I had to figure out how to restructure the business, right? I moved everything offshore, right? I had long-standing team members, but at that point, you know, the interesting thing was all my employees understood that I had to do something because there's no money to pay them, right? I couldn't just pay out of my own pocket for a year, right? It's just not realistic. I downsized and just position the business for whatever the future was. Mm-hmm. And now it's coming back. I mean, we're about 50%. So I estimate by the end of the summer, we'll be back to 100 or something close to that. But ironically, it was a great thing for the business.
Presumably there's going to be pent-up demand now, though, won't there? There'll be pent-up demand.
Well, so there's pent-up demand, but for weddings, there's also a lead time. There's venues and things. Yeah. So there's only so much throughput.
Good point. Right? Yeah.
So it's possible that September, October, you see like a lot more weddings in October, November. That's possible.
Longer season, yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. So yeah, I restructured and now we're you know, up about, you know, down to a balmy 50%, but it'll get back. But lots of business lessons I'm on how to survive, right? Black swan. Never could have predicted this.
So you cut back on your cost base. You had to let some people go. You moved off offshore. Did you back to the point about marketing, given the fact that people were not allowed to get married, it'd be illegal to put together a gathering like that. What were you doing on the marketing stuff? Were you still aiming to keep brand front of mind?
So I did a couple things. One, I continued to invest in content. So I had hired a content writer to feed Google, right? So Google thrives on content. Content's not where we make our money, but it helps give what it's called topical authority, meaning Google thinks that you're an authority because you have a lot of well-written content that drives traffic. So we did that, right? I think, you know, advertising, you cut back, but it sort of. So what happens with advertising is you have a certain cost to sale that you need to meet. And so our target is whatever it is. And as long as that's being hit, then the sales are what they are. You don't go over that to get a sale because then you lose money. So naturally advertising gets pared back, but that's a function of demand, not a function of me wanting to spend less.
Yeah. Okay. Get it.
I tried email marketing, right? Repositioning, sending stuff. But the truth is, I mean, the name of our business is Wedding Favors Unlimited. And it's a wedding favor site. You're not going there for birthday gifts, right? Just like how you think about the business. The name will dictate how people think about it in some respects. And this is a very narrowing name. So it is what it is. So I tried all these things. And at a certain point I said, you know what? It's not losing money because I have a portfolio. So the gifting part of the business, gift baskets, were doing well. And so, you know what? It's surviving. I'm not losing money. It is what it is. What's next?
Yep.
Right. And that was really what I positioned it for. And I just thought, all right, what's next? Next could have been getting a job, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't want to do that.
So where did you look for inspiration for what has now become Extend Your Team? So what gave you the idea of what next in terms of your next business?
So what happened was pre-COVID, so this is October, probably right around the time COVID was in China, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
My wife and I had scheduled a family trip with her family. We're taking our parents to China. And in probably August, she says to me, and in quotes, "I hope you are not going to work on this vacation." And I said, "I don't know if that's possible, honey. I'm working 14-hour days." You know, she says, "Why don't you find someone in the Philippines to run your entire business?" Now, this was a business doing, you know, 4,000 orders a month, 5 million a year. And like, honey, there's just, I know a lot of people who are way more successful than me. in the internet space, and they only go for junior talent. She says, looks at me with these poor honey eyes, and she says, it's a country of 100 million people. I think there's one person. Go find them.
Love that. Love that.
That's really, yeah,
Thanks.
that was,
Thanks, darling.
are you kidding me? Like, I really was like, are you kidding me? And so I start, I know, I mean, now I know I got lucky, to be honest with you,
That's a
because
really
of
interesting
this.
challenge because most of the labor and market access to that market of labor is for junior talent, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So an entire industry, and this is, look, including the sites that you go find people for, you got to find people at in the Philippines, the entire industry is built on cost. I will find, you can get someone for inexpensive. And what I said is, all right, listen, it's still inexpensive to me if I double or triple what the cost is. It's still inexpensive to me. Well, why don't I try? And let me put in an ad out and let's see what happens. So I reviewed 400 to 500 resumes because you get a lot, some of these sites, you get a lot of resumes. 400 to 500 resumes, interviewed probably 100 people, which sounds like it's not true. But generally speaking, you can have, within the first 5 minutes, you're going to know. You do enough of these, you're going to know right away if you're going to click or not. And I would just cut the interview short. So it really wasn't that bad. Narrowed it down to, let's say, 10 people, right? And then narrowed it down to one. And she crushed it. She ran 100 person. She was chief of staff for a 100 person company. I had six people at the time. So she came to my six person business.
Oh, she left
And
her previous business,
she left her
previous
previous
role.
business. Yep. And I went, and the interesting thing is, you hear this all the time. Why would someone do that? She left because she hated her boss, right? She didn't like her boss, and her boss just was not good to her. So you leave for your boss, right? So she took a gamble. I'm going to work from home. And, you know, I went from working 14 hours a day. So she came on board. I onboarded her for 1 week. I said, here you go. Here's the business. I'm going to China. I'll talk to you 1 hour a day if you need me. Right now, granted, I had systems, so it's a little different, right? I'm not like, hey, you know, it's not much she could damage, she could have done.
That's a big shift for you, though. Your main business, your business that you've grown up over years and years, that you sweat blood and years in for 14-hour days, and then you just go, here you are after 1 week onboarding.
I was just
Right.
done. Like, I was done.
Right.
I realized that e-commerce business wasn't for me. I'm like, you know what? It'll be fine. And it was. I went from 14 hours to 3 hours within 6 weeks. And
Amazing.
now, if I'm honest, it's 1 hour a week.
Amazing.
And so she is the
Now, was
reason I
it really
split.
as simple as that? Was it just you got lucky because she was an exceptionally good at what she was doing, or a few teething problems on the way?
No, I just hired real talent. That's
Yeah.
it. So in the US, I'm sure you know it's the same where you are. Real talent's expensive. I can't
Absolutely. Yeah.
afford $150,000 a year employee. I can't. So I just went to another country and I just got great talent there at their prices.
Yeah.
Right. So she's an executive there.
Yeah.
And it turns out, no surprise, all the best talent isn't in the UK and the US. It's all over the world. Right. And it sounds so obvious. But so this is why I started the company. I had all this free time. My friends were shocked that I was able to do this. Right, would find someone. And I said to them, say, hey, can I just find you someone like this? And I have a lot of entrepreneurs, we have a lot of entrepreneur friends. And they said yes. So my first 10 clients, I knew 100% of them.
Amazing.
And it was, you know, every the time and time again, same story. I was getting crushed, now I'm not. I'm getting crushed, now I'm not.
And all from the
Wow.
Philippines. So you actually not only just found this
That's it.
one person, sorry, it was from all over the world. It wasn't necessarily just
No, Philippines. That's
from the
it.
Philippines. So
The
there wasn't
reason
just
I did.
one person at the exact level, at senior level, that you were finding was a whole cadre of people at that level that were really skilled and talented.
Country of 100 million people.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So you think about it, right? So, and then all of a sudden, you know, I Angelica was finding them, not me, by the way. So she was actually finding all these people. So she was running my ops business. Now, you know, the business at the time, she was running my e-commerce business, right? Which was still turning over probably at that point, like once we figured all this out, like 1.5 a year, you know, while it's on hold. And she's doing that, started another company with me, right? We'll be at 70 people soon. And we started this last May.
When you say 70 people, are you employing, what's the business model? Because when you say, are you employing them and then you are invoicing them out to you're charging them out?
Correct. So what I do is there's a big issue in the industry for contractors, especially from the Philippines. They get ghosted, right? So people just don't pay them. They don't have healthcare. They don't have vacation. They don't, you know, all these things that you would take for granted in a company. So all I do is I structured a business where contractors get treated like employees.
Right, right.
And so it works. And now I'm able to get an incredible people. Like, we offer healthcare. Well, all these people that wouldn't leave without healthcare now are going to come work for us. Right. Make sure they get vacation. And so that's how I structure it. And it's, you know, so far it's working. It turns out entrepreneurs need, we find all sorts of people, but really our bread and butter is chief of staff level people that can help you with your business and offload real tasks, not the typical virtual assistant stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what worked for me. I mean, that I'm just doing what for other people, what I did for myself.
Love that. So, and what's the model that if an individual needs them full time, then they can have them, or they could just take them for a minimum of 5 hours, 10 hours a week?
Yeah. So full-time only, here's the secret in the Philippines, right? I don't care, especially if you hire a junior level person, the typical VA, but even more so at the higher levels, it has to be 40 hours, because if it's not 40 hours, they're looking for 40 hours worth of work, which means your stuff is going to come second or they're going to drop you as a client.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you just have to do 40 hours. And if you can't afford 40 hours, I understand that. I just find that you're not going to be as successful with outsourcing to the Philippines unless it's 40 hours. Ironically, this was advice given to me by someone who is now my client.
Yep.
Right? And he taught me about this. And he's my client because he can't find the people he needs.
So your model then is that you find the talent, but you might often go, depending on the client needs, you'll go looking for the particular skill set and experience.
Correct.
You employ Correct. Them rather than your client employing them. So why Correct. Have you chosen that model? Obviously, you're gonna make a weekly, you know, a recurring income rather than just a placement income.
Yeah. So one, that, I mean, from a business perspective, right? So recurring revenue is fantastic. I came from e-commerce where it's not recurring revenue. It's always hunting. Right. So yeah, the idea of recurring revenue is phenomenal. But also why I do this is we have internal team to help make clients more successful. And so when there's an issue like a coaching opportunity or the client needs coaching or you need some restructuring of how they do their tasks, standard operating procedures need to be created. The client doesn't know how to do that. We're there every step of the way, because that's where a lot of this stuff goes wrong. It's not just finding the person, it's the working relationship. And the truth is, a lot of people just don't know how to make it work. That's why they fail. And so we're sitting here working both ends with the team member and the client to make sure it's successful. Great. That's just what I found worked for me.
Can you give me an example of some of the kind of roles that you've helped provide somebody to fill from the Philippines and it's worked really, really well?
Sure. So I would say the number one role is chief of staff. Yeah. And we're really talking like 18 to 20 US an hour. So this is someone who, imagine your day, Gab, and you only did strategic thought, things that make you money. Everything else was given to someone else, right? So I started with my chief of staff. Will soon be a 70-person business while she's running what's a 10-person business. So, I mean, like, think about that kind of talent, right? It's crazy for that price. Now, we also find things like, we found customer service managers, we have Amazon managers, we have graphic designers, right? Well, because I have recruiters in the Philippines, we're able to get great people, and people are going through multiple stages of interviews. So it's really the range of what you need for your business. I mean, I have bookkeepers that I found. It's really all over the board. It just depends what you need.
But so much. So if the element is you want a finance person to run a finance team, you've got that skill. If you want someone to be run your marketing team, you've got that skill. You want to build out that team, whether it be finance or whether it be marketing, they could then also help, or you would then help get more junior members in that skill set.
Correct. So what we do is as a business rule, I do not get junior members to start. I just say no. And the reason I say that is not for any monetary reason. It's for success. I want clients to be successful. And what most virtual assistant agencies tell you is go get, the person who's inexpensive, they'll be great, they'll help you. What they don't tell you is you're going to have to manage them a lot, right? And that's what sucked up why I was working 14 hours a day, was managing junior level team members. Instead, get the highest paid person first. They're willing to do more junior level work than backfill the team. This way you are completely insulated from any of the day-to-day stuff that happens with junior staff, and you truly are the executive. It's just the opposite. It's counterintuitive to what most people think, because in the United States, you would fill the more junior people first because that's who you can afford. Mm-hmm. You can afford someone who's $18 an hour in the United States. That's the same as working fast food.
Yeah.
Right. But that person's going to change your life. And that's the mind shift that I had to go through. I mean, 3.5 years for me to go through it, right? Just banging my head against the wall. And it took my wife yelling, saying, I'm not going to do something. And me being like, okay, for it to happen.
And so over time then, those clients of yours, do they want to be able to bring that person on? Do they want to cut out the middleman? Is there not a risk from a business model point of view that they will say, well, I'll pay them a full-time role, but would I continue to pay your fee in the middle?
Yeah, sure. So that's fair. So they have an option to buy out. All my clients have an option to buy out the person. We're not a recruiting agency. If you want that, it is not my model, but as an entrepreneur, I would want that. So that's what I do. Okay.
You're selling the services of those people rather than being a recruitment agency. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you actually want to do that, you can buy them out. It's a high typical recruiting fee, right? Doesn't matter how long you've been my client. That's the recruiting fee. And, but then also realize now you have to give them vacation support system and all these other things we don't do, online education opportunities, a community, all these things that you don't necessarily have for them because now they're the only person in the Philippines. What is that worth to you? Sure, you can save a few dollars.
But for them, it's that for the individual that's working in your team, they feel more isolated, less supported.
Correct. I'm solving a two-sided problem. So yes,
a client, I like it.
And remember, my whole margin is not like all profit, right? I'm investing back into something, right? So now you have to figure out all these things. And so, and over time, it's going to be even more challenging because my goal right now, we pay for our team members, healthcare, medical, dental, life. My goal in the next 12 months is to pay for 3 people's worth of medical, dental, life, right? And once I achieve that, now you have to do that. But so it's just not like, it's not worth it. Like unlimited online education, like how are you really going to figure this out? So what are you saving?
Yeah, I get that. So presumably the time differences are not much of an issue. Do the team out in the Philippines adjust their sort of body clock and then they work on US time?
Yeah, so exactly. So there's a culture of the Philippines. The interesting thing is because of the big multinationals, there's a 24-hour culture in the business process outsourcing industry, which is where we get a lot of people. So working the overnight shift is common. It's not a very weird thing. Now, for certain roles, let's use my accountant as an example. My bookkeeper, she works Philippine daytime. Mm-hmm. Why do I need her to work night?
That doesn't
make sense. My chief of staff, she works mostly US hours because she's running an e-commerce business and my outsourcing business. So really, other people, clients have them work full daytime hours. Some of them have them work no hours. It just, or like 1 hour overlap. It just depends what you need. So it's all open.
Yep. And then obviously they're subject to, I have a Philippine, a VA in the Philippines. They're subject to typhoons, etc. Have you found that from a business interruption point of view that you've had challenges there?
So I'll just like honestly, it happens,
Yep.
right? So there's a couple things. So you have to take, it's like anything, you have to take the good with the bad, right? So for my e-commerce business, if things, you know, someone loses power, they lose power, they're out. I accept that, right? I feel the benefit, you know, it may be a day, right? But I feel the benefits outweigh those type of issues. The loyalty, the quality of work, their attitude, their appreciation for what, you know, for working with you. To me, that far outweighs other things. The other thing is someone would say, well, why don't you just get an office and you can mitigate a lot of that? That's what a lot of companies do. The
An office out in the
interesting,
Philippines.
in the Philippines, go get an
Yeah.
office
Yeah.
and everyone commutes to the office.
Yeah.
That, but what I think people fail to realize is, sure, you can do that. Now their commute went from their bedroom. So we're attracting people who were commuting 2 hours each way,
Wow.
4 hours a day.
That's
Now that we eliminated that, so you get higher quality people. So now you're just like, if we did that, we're just like everybody else. So do you want the better person? Or do you want to be like, okay, well, if there's a typhoon, I'm going to be pissed. Right? It's what do you want? I would go for the higher quality person who here and there is going to have some stuff happen. Right? And I just accept that for my own business. Right? People are out in the United States. Just accept it. It's not a big deal.
So just oh yeah, obviously with all the snow in certain parts, Texas did have massive power outages. Back to your point about customer avatar. So who is your ideal client for Extend Your Team? Who would be receive most benefit from one of your team members?
So if you are, it's really a psychographic versus a demographic, right? It's somebody who is either on their own or has a team, and the team could be 20, 30 people, who's finding themselves like just stuck in tactical tasks, and that's preventing them from doing the work they should be doing, which is growing their business. If you're that person, you're a client, and it spans across industries. Right?
But the
And then
starting point has to be a full-time role then, 40 hours a week.
that's it. I don't do it otherwise. It just, in my experience, it doesn't work. And then all that happens, it's failed every time for me personally. And all that happens is you get frustrated.
But I
Whereas
would
my,
imagine those individuals, there may be someone listening, there'd no doubt be someone listening to this podcast that would say, well, I don't think I've got 40 hours worth of week for somebody. I work a week for somebody. But if you've got a really good, high quality, exec level person, they're going to end up taking more and more off you than you ever realized that you just did.
correct. Yeah. Well, because if you have a high quality person, you say, I only have 25 hours a week. I would make a fairly sizable wager. If you say you only have 20 hours a week, within 2 to 3 months, you're going to have 40. Because all these things that you, just like you said, you think you can't give. So, and by the way, I am constantly surprised at stuff that happens. For example, my customer service lead. I, for my gift basket business, I was doing corporate sales because I had let go of my team members that were doing this. She's in the Philippines, right? And she took over corporate sales this year. I was completely nervous. She closed $190,000 sale, five $40,000 sales, and multiple, you know, $15,000 and $20,000 sales,
Wow.
right? So I was just blown away. I'm like, wow, I'm in this business and I fell for the trap. So if you get better people, you can give them more and more and more. Now, obviously your business has to make money, right? I'm not, you know, but if you're at the 20-hour a week workload level, I guarantee it's going to be 40 within 2 to 3 months. Right? And the truth is, if it's not, and it's not working for you, you can always let them go, right?
And
It's
do
a
you find these
contract.
people have got skill sets across a number of domains? Because you were just talking about a particular skill set there in sales, but your next breath, you could be talking about systemizing. We could be talking about some e-commerce optimization stuff. We could be talking about marketing. There are distinct skill sets and experiences and training. So are you finding people that actually In one person, you've got that breadth of capability, or because you just tap into the expertise of different people within your 70-strong team?
Yeah, so it's there are no unicorns, I always like to say. If you want to find a unicorn, they cost probably about $350,000 to $400,000 a year, right? Mm-hmm. Just recognize that. So, you know, there's operation skill sets. My customer service manager, I didn't think she could actually, you know, it's inbound sales, not outbound, but I didn't think she would be able to go close a $90,000 sale, right? Mm-hmm. I just didn't think I was wrong. So you're getting athletes, and that's I think the most important thing, people who can think, who are athletes. And that changes what you can do. Now, what I personally would not recommend going to the Philippines for really strong marketing, and you're not going to the Philippines for strategy. You're going to the Philippines for operational talent that can help you run your business.
Yeah.
That is the guise which you go under. And in that, you're going to find people that can do all sorts of things.
Amazing. I think you've got a fantastic model. I'm sure there's probably a week or a month that doesn't go by that your wife says to you, I made this happen. It was my idea.
Oh, no. This is, oh yeah, yeah. She, the only reason this works is because of her. She said, you know, I told you to do this, right? Because she's a very successful senior executive. She's like, I was giving you guidance and I was coaching you. And you know, this is why this happened. So thanks, honey. I love you.
You're right. And indeed she was right. I have a country of 100 million people. You're mining a rich vein of talent that probably a lot of people listening would have never actually. It's so easy for us to position, to pigeonhole people or categories or countries into certain pigeonholes. You think Philippines, yes, for lower level, more junior outsourced VA talent tech. But what this podcast has certainly, this conversation has opened me up to is that, wow, I would never have thought that you could get high level, chief of staff level, exec level talent, you know, from the same place. And of course, when you say it's a country of 100 million people, duh, of course you're going to.
There's going to be you think about it, for me, I need 1,000 or 2,000 people, 5,000 people. That's for my business. That's it, right? Mm. In order to make it massively large. And you think about it from that perspective, you're like, oh, okay, right? Like, yes, obviously you can do this, right? Now, would I go to the Philippines for technology talent? No, I'd probably go to Eastern Europe because there's a better cohort of people there specifically that. But
I could ask you, where next in terms of the model then? Are you going to then look at certain other sectors? So you might look for Eastern Europe, for Estonia, wherever, for tech talent?
If so, I think ultimately I'd like to do a couple things. One is I eventually like to create a platform, right, for this, because that's, as a business owner, that scales, right?
Absolutely.
But I also would like to go deep into different countries and become like more of a global talent agency. Say, like you said, eventually would I do tech? There are a lot of people doing it and I think they can do it better than I can. So unless I can do it in a more meaningful way, I don't know if I would do it. But maybe, for example, it's fantastic. There's a massive need for bilingual call center people. And then I go to South America and I find that Mexico, the rate arbitrage is very good. Mm-hmm. And I could create the kind of environment I want and duplicate what I did in the Philippines or Argentina or Venezuela with all the problems they're having, or Colombia. Maybe there's different types of talent and locations that I don't know about. So I would love to become a global talent agency. And I think that's where it'll go. In the future, honestly, if you don't start your business with global talent, you're going to lose. That's just what I believe.
What a statement to end on. I love that. I love that. I love that. Thank you, Matthew, if you don't start your business with global talent, you're on a, what was that? What was the final bit? You're on a hiding.
You're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
No, yeah, you're going to lose.
So how do people find out more about you, about extend your team? How do they find, most importantly, how they can tap into this amazing resource at $18 to $20 an hour?
Yeah. So, you know, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. right? I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. I post all the time. Send me a DM or friend request. You can also go to sendyourteam.com and book a call with me directly. For the time being, I do sales. I'm in the process of looking for a salesperson, but for the time being, you will get me. And even if you're not ready, you just want to talk and you want to learn, I'm happy to get on a call. I like helping people. Even if you're not my ideal client, I'm happy to point you in the right direction. Because there's so many ways to go wrong, and I just don't want you to make the same mistakes I did.
Love that. So Matthew with two T's, Matthew Yeas, Y-A-H-E-S, Matthew Yeas, extendyourteam.com. And the email address, was that sales at extendyourteam.com?
You can just send it to Matt at extendyourteam.com, and I'll get it.
Matt, extend your team. Matt, you're a superstar. You've really opened up something in my thinking today, and certainly with some of the acquisitions that we're looking at currently, I really do think that I could be jumping on a call with you from a customer point of view. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that are listening to this podcast right now just thinking, I need to get a call with Matt. So thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for reaching out to come on to the Business Mastermind podcast.
Thanks, Gavin. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Business Mastermind podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review so that more people like you can get their business back on their own terms, enjoy more success, and create more impact.